All right, Wednesday, August 13th. I sure didn't expect this today. I don't think you guys did either. Minnesota Twins. Poll ads. Not going anywhere. Seriously, at the beginning of this process, Dan, we talked about it. We said, you know, there's a chance they don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt a little bit like the kind of legalese you say, we are,
the Minnesota Twins are exploring the possibility of a sale.
And you're like, well, nobody puts that out unless they're really going to sell. But there have been cases of teams that went out.
And fairly recent cases, the Washington Nationals was just a few years ago that did the same exact thing.
Just couldn't get the money they want. The Twins situation is even more complicated with the fact that we're sort of a small market. We don't have any idea what the TV revenue is going to be.
And they're carrying a large chunk of debt along with the asking price.
So when you look at the potential revenue for the Minnesota Twins and look at the high debt load, well, you want to buy that? You want to buy a house for $1 million, and then you also have to assume $400,000 of debt.
Hmm.
Not tempting.
Not ideal.
Rich people don't get rich by doing dumb business deals.
They do not. If you go back and look, you mentioned the commissioner's comments last hour when we talked about this. And if you parse out what he actually said, it wasn't there will be a sale. What he said was there will be a transaction. Which, again, remember, commissioner of baseball is a lawyer by trade. This is what he does, is parse words. And technically, when you bring on two minority ownership groups, that is a transaction.
Well, we're getting your reaction. We'd love for you to send us voice messages using the Odyssey app. So if you're listening live on the Odyssey app, which is a great way to do it in your car or on your smart speaker, on your phone, right next to the live button, there's a microphone and you can send us your reaction. Poll ad era, do you wish you had somebody else? Would you take anybody else or the poll ads? That reaction, welcome on the WCCO Talkback feature on the Odyssey app. Now, I wanted to get some insight from a guy who was in charge of marketing for the Minnesota Twins for, well, maybe during the time when the poll ads were even more public enemy number one, when they were trying to contract the team. Patrick Klinger is the founder of Agile Marketing Partners. He co-founded a marketing group called Igniter with a bunch of marketing executives, former marketing executives from local teams. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Patrick, you know this family, you know this team. Were you surprised by this news today?
You know, Jason, it did surprise me. I'm sure it came as a surprise to most every Twins fan. There was the belief after the trade deadline a couple of weeks ago when the Twins moved a large portion of their roster that this was really setting up to sell the team to new ownership. And so when the announcement came out this morning that the Polads were going to be retaining the Twins, albeit bringing in a couple of limited partners, yeah, it certainly did catch me by surprise.
Patrick, when you look at you saying fans are surprised, I would say fans are mad. The level of anger towards an ownership. Owners are often sort of the punching bag for a fan base, right? But this is more intense than anything, maybe other than Red McCombs in my time here. And this surpasses that to me. From a marketing standpoint, what do you do about this? You know, you're trying to get fans to come into the stadium. You're trying to get people to fill those seats. You know, they don't have what you had, which was a shiny brand new stadium to try to attract people to.
No doubt about it. It's going to be a challenge for at least the short term and maybe even the next couple of seasons. But I will tell you, when I first joined the Twins as the vice president of marketing in 1999, we were a terrible baseball team. I think we had 18 rookies on the team at that time. The poll ads had threatened to sell the team to an owner in North Carolina.
Right.
We're really struggling to get a new ballpark built. I mean, everything was stacked against us at the time. And we had a bunch of young players named Brad Radke and Eddie Guardado and LaTroy Hawkins, Doug Mankiewicz, Torrey Hunter, Christian Guzman, A.J. Pierzynski. They were a bad baseball team at the time, but we really felt that they were destined to do good things, to be a terrific team. So while things were very dire then, those were the guys that helped us turn it around and win six division titles in 10 years. It could very well be the case with the Twins, with this group. But right now, clearly the fans are angry. They're disappointed. They were hopeful for new ownership. That's not going to happen in the near term. But hopefully the team can get right and start winning some games and bring fans back to the ballpark.
Patrick Klinger is the president and founder of Igniter Partners, which is a sports marketing advisory agency. Worked for the Twins for a long time, heading up marketing there. Patrick, you know, there is this discussion of these two limited partners, two groups that will come in, one group from made up of Minnesotans, another group from people from around the country. You know, well, first of all, why not announce all of that together so people can be a little excited about the quote unquote new ownership team instead of just announcing, hey, you thought we were selling the team, we're sticking around?
I really don't know the thought process behind coming out with an announcement like this today and not also announcing who the limited partners are, other than perhaps there's still some details to get worked out. You would have thought that perhaps it would have been announced. And to your point, to help generate some excitement, I simply suspect that there might be a few deal points that still have to be resolved.
I mean, does it help if one of the limited partners is Joe Mauer or somebody who has great goodwill? Does that sort of change things maybe?
Yeah, I think it would. You know, certainly Joe is a native son. He's beloved here in Minnesota. You know, I have absolutely no idea if he's involved in this. But I do think that someone like that would probably give the fans at least some reason to get energized and excited again about the team.
Do you think there's, and I'll say, I'm one of the few that is not freaking out in anger on this deal. Maybe my view is backwards in old time, but I sort of prefer the local ownership that I know to the out-of-town, rando, rich guy that I don't. And maybe that is outdated in today's sports landscape.
Well, I think you do have to be careful about what you wish for. The Polads, I can tell you, having been an employee of theirs for 16 years, they were extraordinary people to work for. They treated their employees terrifically well. They hired quality people. They let them do their job. They didn't intrude on your day-to-day work. They're deeply and authentically committed to the community. They have taken a lot of abuse over 40-plus years. There's no question about it. Owning a sports team is not for the faint of heart. You, to your point earlier, you become a punching bag. When things are going well, everybody's excited, but you know, sports is cyclical, and there are going to be some times when teams are not going to win. And it could be years where they don't win. The Poets, I think, have been good owners, despite what many fans may think. And they do want to win. It's unfortunately, 40 years, it's taken its toll on them. And I think the fans, at the end of the day, they want a winning team. And they want to believe that the ownership is committed to winning. So hopefully this new era of Twins baseball with these limited partners, we'll get the team headed in the right direction and get some wins on the field.
Patrick Klinger is with us. Ultimately, marketing can do a lot, but winning does a lot more, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing.
There's no question about it. You know, you can market all day long and you can paint a really rosy picture, but at the end of the day, fans know what a good product is and what a bad product is. And if they see bad baseball, they're unlikely to come out. But if they feel like a team is committed, that it's got potential, they will support the organization. And I do, in my heart, believe that Minnesota sports fans are still on the Twins bandwagon. They just need a product to get excited about.
Are there examples around baseball where there's an unpopular ownership group among the local fan base, but still a successful kind of, you know, people show up?
You know, I can't really speak to that today because honestly, I don't know. But yeah. I think George Steinbrenner probably fit that mold.
Yeah.
He owned the Yankees, he was a very volatile.
True.
He hired and fired managers seemingly on a daily basis sometimes. I don't think he was particularly popular with Yankee fans at the time, but they were the Yankees, and they still won, and fans filled the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So I think it can be done if ultimately you're putting a product on the field that people want to see and they want to pay for. Willing to pay for.
Yeah, the true test will be what happens in the off season, right? Like, what does it mean to invest in players, to invest in the team? What do we see happen after this trade deadline sell-off? I suppose that'll tell us a lot. Today, it's just everybody kind of letting out their anger that they've had built up over, first, in some cases, generations. And I'm never one to say, like, don't be angry. You should be angry. You're a fan. Be angry. Do whatever you want. But now it's, okay, what comes next?
Well, first of all, as a marketing person, I'd rather have somebody who's angry than apathetic.
Hmm.
So there is a lot of disappointment and some anger in the marketplace today. But I think that shows that there is a passion for the Twins. What the organization has to do is find a way to get those people back engaged, turn it around, take that passion, make it positive. And I think they have the ability to do that. Now, we're going to see a lot of young players, players that we haven't heard of before. They're going to get an opportunity to shine and show what they're capable of. And they have an opportunity to capture the hearts of Twins fans and Minnesota sports fans. So we'll see how things shake out here over the next next couple of months through the end of the season. And then the off season will be critical. Is the ownership group going to show that they're committed to going out and getting players who can help this team win?
Patrick Klinger, really appreciate your insight as a guy who was inside that organization at a time when the Polads were in many ways public enemy number one in this town. And it's a story that we see playing out again. Patrick, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Jason, I enjoyed it.
Drive Time continues with your reaction, 651-461-9226, or you can send us a voice message at any time. Just hit that talk back microphone button on the Listen Live page of the Odyssey app.
All right, day like today, nice night to go to the Minneapolis Club. I should have gone and worked out there today. I did an at-home workout. Love having that place right up the street from us here at CCO. Great place for an after work happy hour drink, or you're on your way to the Twins game like we will be tomorrow live at Target Field. Derek Falvey is scheduled to appear. So we'll ask him your questions because he gets to be the president of baseball operations and the president of business operations. He wanted this job. I don't know. Marty's in Minneapolis. You know, today, would you want to be in charge? Which would you pick, Marty? Would you want to be in charge of baseball or business over there?
I don't know. That's a great question. Can I think about it and call you back tomorrow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think about the sale or the no sale?
I guess I really like what your previous guest said about anger versus apathy, because I used to have a partial package of season tickets. Gave them up a few years ago and didn't go to any games last year and went to one game this year, courtesy of you and Dan and WCCO.
Yes.
Very much for that. And I fall in the apathetic category. My 87-year-old mother, which gives you some idea of my age, is mad as hell. And I don't even want to talk to her today because she is just going to be livid. And so she really is on the emotional or passionate side.
Yeah.
And somehow the Twins organization needs to turn that around. I guess that would be my first, if I were in charge of either baseball or business operations, is to do what I could to sway the angry fans over to more happy fans, and then work on people like me who are apathetic and have kind of given up on them all together.
Really good. Marty, thank you. Yeah, I think it's got to be a combo platter, and Dan and I were talking about this. The idea that, you know, Patrick noted that the Twins do so much marketing of, oh, we have this new scoreboard or we have this new thing at Target Field. It's very much been about the Target Field experience. And nobody cares right now. Like, what Twins fans want is to believe that the team is going to be fun to watch. That I will say, I think many fans who are ridiculous question whether the Poleheads want to win. The Poleheads want to win. Silly, right? Like this idea that they don't want to win. Yeah. Joe Polad wants to win. Does are they willing to take steps to make us actually believe that they're taking action? We all want to win. What are you doing about it? That's the question.
That is the question. I mean, Target Field's a great place to go hang out. And when the energy's right in that building, there are plenty of people that go that down to Target Field just to hang out.
Yeah.
Could care less what's going on in the field. Just they like the energy in the building and all the different options.
Of course.
It's a great stadium. But what we've learned, obviously, is that great stadiums aren't enough. That's nice, and they generate plenty of, you know, of money for the team. But if you don't put a product on the field that's going to win and be competitive successfully, and this team has not been competitive, you know, in a consistent sense since 23, people aren't going to show.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff that goes along with it is all gets exacerbated by the fact that the product on the field is lousy. If they were competing for a playoff spot this year, none of the rest of this stuff matters a whit to people because it's the product on the field that they really care about.
Yeah.
How you go about getting that consistently competitive product, especially when you're a mid-market club, it's a big, big challenge, and that's what lands right in Derek Falvey's lap, and it'll be really interesting to hear what he has to say tomorrow.
Texter says, I feel like Charlie Brown when Lucy pulls the ball away. Arr.
I think there's probably a lot of people out there feeling that way today, and I get it.
Yeah. What's interesting is if you're a casual fan or like you're a sports fan but not a hardcore Twins fan, I wonder if you're sitting here listening to this thinking, who cares who the owner?
Sure.
There is something about baseball. There are a couple logical reasons for it, right? The obsession with payroll in baseball, which you and I both have our issues with.
Right.
And as the separation between the haves and the have-nots continue to grow, it is much more of an issue than maybe it used to be because there's still a lot of luck in getting the right player or having the player hit at the right time, all of those things. But to really be in the game, it's hard to be at the bottom of the payroll barrel.
Like I said, you know, what payroll does is it gives you cushion. The more payroll you have, the more cushion you have to make.
When somebody's hurt or...
Somebody's hurt or it just doesn't, you know, the deal doesn't work out. You have other options. When you're on the lower end of the revenue scale, where the Twins are heading, then you just don't have that many options.
Do they do something big? Do they do something like cut season ticket prices or give a refund?
I think, you know, like PR-wise...
we traded our team away. We're going to give you a percentage back
I think PR-wise, that would be, obviously, that would be very well received. I think as budget conscious as they've been over the last few years, I would be surprised if they made a move like that.
Yeah. Well, questions we can ask tomorrow.
There you go.
4:30. We're going to break. I don't know. Should we do enough today? I feel like we've had so much belly aching in this show already. Do we want people to say what they've had enough of?
Got to vent those spleens, Jason.
All right. Everybody let it out. We're just here for you to let it out. No. Should we say no Twins, though? Well, you know what? It's your time.
It's just it. I don't want
no rules.
I don't want to put boundaries on people.
Is a segment we usually do at 5:30. We're doing it at 4:30 tonight. Twins pregame at 5:30. I want you to let it rip. What have you had enough of? Dan and I both have a couple things that we are fed up with. And we'll talk about it. This can be funny. It can be minor. The sillier it is, the better. This is the kind of stuff that you complain about to your buddies. What have you had enough of? 651-461-9226. Drive time on this Wednesday. Back in a minute.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I have had enough!
Enough is enough!
Enough!
Enough is our weekly vent fest. When have you had it? What have you had enough of? Let's go. 651-461-9226. You can send us a message on the Odyssey app. You can do that anytime during the week. The text line already lighting up. You guys are ready to go. It's been a, you know, it's been a stressful existence. If this helps you get this stuff off your chest, I'm all for it. And we begin with this text from the 612. Usually I start, but this is so good, Dan.
We have to start here.
I have had enough of my back hair. It's debilitating for my beach/pool look I'm trying to go with.
That would be the case, yeah.
Back hair.
Yeah.
Get out of here. When it comes to the non kind of hair top of the head.
Yeah.
Or maybe beard region.
Okay.
What is the most irritating kind of random hair?
I mean, back hair's got to be right at the top of the list.
Back hair is
it?
Rough. Like, I still remember the first time I discovered back hair. You're like, oh, no, I'm this many years old.
Yep.
I don't know, though.
Ear hair? Would that be the kind of similar deal? Nose hair, maybe?
I once got my ear hair and nose hair waxed.
Wow.
And
how's that for you?
It sounds painful, but it was quite pleasurable, actually. It
wasn't like 40-year-old virgin scene thing?
No, it wasn't. Was not like that. I mean, women, honestly, you have nothing but my admiration. The things that women do.
Oh, they're so much tougher than us. It's not even close.
Like, I would not. Like, you've been giving me a little grief lately because I've had maybe a button, one extra button open. I need like a gold chain or two to complete the look.
It would complete the look.
Today I am, I'm just like, it's
really.
You're
fine today. No, you're fine today.
It's just one.
Yeah.
But the other day I had like a sort of, I don't know.
You were at the Scenic Outlook and it was.
It was like a shirt that sort of has holes in it. I don't know how to describe the fabric. But it was some sort of.
Holy
shirt. But I have my sunglasses. Like, I'm also.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I've had enough of. Glasses. So I am so old that now I have reading glasses with me at all times.
Yeah.
And often I put it right in the button-up shirt.
In the crook
right
of the neck of the shirt. Yeah. And that pulls the shirt down, and then it's chest lettuce time.
Correct.
So, yeah.
But if you're outdoors, which I was enjoying the beautiful St. Croix River Valley, St. Croix, Falls, Bayport, Stillwater. But I had reading glasses and sunglasses.
Right? Oh,
too much.
The double whammy.
Too much.
Yeah.
651-461-9226.
I have had enough of 394.
Oh.
And this isn't even so much related to the construction going on because that's in the min pass lanes and I don't ever use those anyway. But that sort of exacerbates, especially eastbound 394. Eastbound 394 is just awful. Whoever designed that, I'm not going to speculate about what state of mind they were in at the time they designed it, but they did a poor job.
Yeah.
Because you've got the non-zipper merge going off to 94 that backs up all over the place. And you have essentially like a blind left curve as you want to try to head into downtown. So people freak out because they can't see ahead of them. There's slow traffic to the right of them. So they slow down to 35, 40 miles an hour in the left lane when they don't need to.
Mm.
And it backs that stretch. There's no good way to get east on 394. It's just awful. And if they're going to do the construction and shut stuff down all over the place, blow the whole thing up and start over. I've had enough.
I actually agree with this idea that we take 394 and implode it.
Just go ahead. Get rid of it.
I love implosions. I feel like we in this community miss out on like providing a lot of entertainment to people.
Sure.
What's the last thing we've imploded?
It's a great question. We got all these buildings that are empty downtown. Let's just have a good implosion. Let's go.
Let's get rid of one of these.
We don't have enough implosions.
True. Well, the Twins bullpen was imploded, but outside of that. 651-461-9226. I've had enough, says a 612-er, of the ding-dongs on bridge overpasses and busy corners with their no kings and resist signs. It's dumb, and it makes people mad for slowing down traffic. Enough. That is very interesting. Is there, I feel like last week someone texted in with a similar complaint, but it was more about like the people holding the flag and everything on overpasses. Maybe it was the same issue. They were doing the no kings bit. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of the MnDOT funny
the overpass
electronic
signs?
Overhead yeah. sign.
You're totally wrong about that. But yes.
I generally speaking, the only signage I want people to see would be a billboard with me on it. I feel like let's keep our eyes on the road.
Sure.
And also
on to Russia.
I think it's a reasonable take.
Absolutely.
A texter says Maui Jim makes a great sunglasses with a little bifocal in it for your reading.
So that's my problem with glasses is that I'm nearsighted.
Okay.
But when you put a corrective lens to, you know, get my distance vision where I want it, now I'm of an age where now I can't see up close through
yeah,
that anymore.
You got the problem.
So I need the bifocal, but the bifocal that I have isn't positioned the way that it needs to be for these screens here in the studio.
Yeah.
Which is why you never see me wearing glasses in this, even though I wear glasses all the time.
All the time.
I just don't wear them in the studio because you know, what I'm doing,
have,
there's no way to tilt my head to get it at the right angle to be able to
read
these
reverse,
screens.
We have the reverse problem. Yeah.
In so many ways.
I did get LASIK. By the way, I love my LASIK.
Okay.
Love it. One day I went to the surgeon, and in a 5-minute procedure, then I go home, go to sleep, I woke up, and I could see. It was like magic.
Not bad.
It was magic. And then that night, they tell you not to drive that night because, you know, you never know
sure.
if it works 100%. That night, Alyssa and I went to Kielbasa Fest at Kramarczyk.
Like you do.
Danced a little. Went home. The next day, they're like, hey, you got 2010? Is that better than 2020?
I think so.
I don't know. You're like, how many times you go to the doctor and they do something and then the problem's fixed? It was sort of amazing.
That is kind of incredible. Yeah,
There's no real follow-up. It just happened. More texts coming in. Calls are welcome. Voice messages welcome using the Odyssey app. Enough continues here on Drive Time.
Enough!
All right, we're letting you just get it off your chest. We do this every week. Usually at 5:30 on Wednesdays. You can listen anytime on your schedule. We podcast every segment of this show. So if you're on Apple Podcast or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, just search DeRussia. We'll see that. Enough. I have had enough of waiting for this state. This is a texter, 763. Waiting for this state to get its act together and provide recreational cannabis. What is so difficult? It's been 2 years since legalization. It is one of the frustrating things of being one of the later states to the party in that you would think there has been a pretty clear roadmap from other states on how to do it. Now, part of the challenge, I would say, was the fact that they set up this sort of equity lottery to give certain people a head start, veterans, people with cannabis convictions, people of color in communities where there was a disproportionate number of arrests for cannabis, so all of those sorts of factors. And that got challenged in the courts, and that slowed everything down. I also think they don't really care. Like, the legislators passed it. They get to say, well, we passed it. And what's the urgency then? I don't know. It is crazy. You're like 2 years for this to get together, and now they're giving out some licenses, but there's going to be no product because we didn't give enough of a head start
yep.
on that.
And, you know, and as frustrating as it is, and I'm with the caller in that regard, the texter in that regard, we can't be surprised, right? Because remember the medical marijuana rollout was delayed and foot dragging. And
I forgot about that.
Remember how
narrow
the list of things that you could get it for was? And it was because that's just, I don't know if it's Minnesota puritanical or what it is, but we can't just go ahead and do this stuff. It's got to be infinitesimal baby steps.
We are a goofy state in that. I saw someone post today on social media that in Minnesota you can get a THC beverage, like at your neighborhood clothing store.
No problem.
But you can't buy a beer at a grocery store?
Nope.
Like, yeah, we are a little messed up, for sure. I've had enough with lane splitting already. I'm seeing motorcycles flying up the shoulder doing 60 in between cars. It's insane.
Well, they can't be on the shoulder.
Yeah. They're supposed to be going
in between the cars.
I think that's probably what they mean. But I hope so.
But I wouldn't be surprised either if there's confusion in the law and people think, oh, well, I'm on a motorcycle, I can go wherever I want. And then they do take the shoulder.
Yeah.
Which is not part of the bit. But it is jarring. You and I have talked about
it. It's jarring.
When somebody all of a sudden there's a motorcycle zipping between you and a car next to you.
I've had enough of the poll ads, says a texter.
That's a lot of people's sentiment today.
It is, you know, as much as I push back a little bit and say that I'm not upset about this move, and I do think, I'm thinking bigger than just the team. I'm thinking about the community.
Sure.
And I do think that the poll ads are good for the community. As far as the product, there is not evidence to support outside of Correa, which I think you have to give credit for Correa, even though that didn't work out.
That was
a swing.
They took a shot.
Otherwise, it's... Well, maybe that... Text in with your answers. What are your favorite Polad baseball moves? I tried to get Cook to help me on that one today. Not helpful. One texter said he had enough of this show. That CCO's got to be able to find something better to air.
And not really.
I said they've looked. This is it.